This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to The Kevin Kelly Show, exclusively here on placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. And now, here's your host, the voice of Ring of Honor, Mr. Kevin Kelly.
Hey, happy Halloween, everybody, and welcome to The Kevin Kelly Show here on the Place to Be Nation. I want to thank you all for joining us. We had a quite a time. Quite a time was had by all indeed the last couple of weeks in Ring of Honor. 2 weeks ago, we had this fantastic tryout camp. And last weekend was our return to the Sunshine State of Florida. I'll give you some thoughts about those two things and talk about that in a few minutes. We're very excited about our guest on the show tonight. He'll be joining us in just a few minutes. And I think you guys will all enjoy our guest tonight. And of course, it's Halloween. So of course, we're going to do something thematic. We'll talk about Halloween wrestling memories and wrestling costumes and things like that. And we'll look back at the week that was in pro wrestling, and we'll talk a little bit about the world in general, whether it's sports, whether it's entertainment. It all happens here on the Kevin Kelly Show each and every episode. So with Ring of Honor, let's talk real quick about things that are going on right now. Well, we're on the road to Final Battle, which I'm really excited is going to be on pay-per-view. And it will be on Sunday, December 7th. We're going to be at Terminal 5 in New York City. No longer going to be at the Hammerstein. We're at Terminal 5, which is a beautiful place. And it is, for all intents and purposes, it is sold out. So if you don't have a ticket, the only way you'll be able to see Final Battle is on pay-per-view. Go get your cable company, get them on the horn, make sure that they're on board with this, make sure that your satellite provider, if you're a Dish Network or a DirecTV subscriber, as I am, make sure that you find out where it is, what channel it is, and get all dialed in and ready to go. It is going to be a spectacular night for sure. 2 weeks ago, Ring of Honor hosted another tryout camp, and to me, there were two stories that came out of this camp. One, the amazing array of talent that we have in training when it comes to developing the future of Ring of Honor. It's different than the system in the WWE, where they have a $25 million facility and shiny weights and all kinds of things. It is much different than that. So how does Ring of Honor do it? Well, Ring of Honor gets the best trainers in wrestling and has them come to Bristol. And we have talent from all over the country come to Bristol. And they spend 2 days really intently kind of discussing professional wrestling and putting the trainees through their paces to see what they have. It's not physical, blow them up, beat them up. It's a little different. And what they find is that the athletes that come through are in good shape. And if they're not, you could see right away they're not in good shape. And it also shows after the 2 days, man, they learn so much. And that's why the talent development system has developed so much good talent here in Ring of Honor. And I mean, the list of main event guys in Ring of Honor, now it's over 30, by the way, over 30 people that have attended Ring of Honor trial camps have now competed on Ring of Honor events. So that's a pretty good number. And Truth Martini and Jay Lethal, all the way through to Brutal Bob Evans and head trainer Delirious and myself and Gary Silken and the Briscoes. It was just a great time and a great experience. And I'm really looking forward to that continuing. Then, of course, this past weekend, we go to Florida. And it was, what a time it was. Lakeland, great building, great venue. If you read Nigel McGuinness's blog, there were some former world champs in the house. It was great catching up with Samoa Joe, and wished him deepest condolences about his father's passing. And, you know, again, who knows what's going to happen? He doesn't know, but whatever it is, he'll always be a part of the Ring of Honor family as a former Ring of Honor world champion. And so it was just great to see him. The other thing is we have a pretty tight-knit group of guys in Ring of Honor. There is no, I've been in some locker rooms that have lacked harmony. This is not one of them. And in fact, I hearken back to the time when the WWE was really at its peak, and it was around May of 1999, and ran unopposed, no Nitro that night because of the NBA playoffs, and I think the main event or the highest rated segment was the Mean Street Posse against the Stooges, did like a 7. That's when I wrote, you know, in the Informer and WWF magazine that I felt like the time in the WWF right now, this locker room is as tight as it's ever been. Business has never been better. And man, just everything really is peaking right now. That's kind of the way I feel about Ring of Honor. I think that everything is on a very, very good path. And I'm excited for where the next weeks, months, and years are to go. I don't know how much longer I'm going to continue to do this stuff, but I'm going to do it for as long as I can. And so anyway, that's kind of that. Our special guest, I just texted with him. He's good to go. Gangrel is going to join us in just a few seconds. Special Halloween treat. He's going to be distracted because he's teaching class tonight at his training school. So there you go. So he's filling in for Rikishi tonight. So he's the only trainer there, but it should be all good. So says Gangrel. We'll dial him up in just a few minutes. We'll talk to him, and we'll get some thoughts about a big part of that Attitude Era. He was there in 99 when everything was red hot. He knows what good locker rooms are like. He knows what bad locker rooms are like. He knows what training's all about, and he knows how to be a star because he was one of the biggest stars of the Attitude Era and continues to be a star all around the world today. So Gangrel up next on the Place to Be Nation's Kevin Kelly Show. But our old pal, JR, jump on in here, please. Tell us where you can find the Kevin Kelly Show each and every week.
Sup, Hermie? This is Vince McMahon with the Kevin Kelly Show update. You can find the Kevin Kelly Show in any of the following ways. Visit PlaceToBeNation.com. Click the Kevin Kelly Show banner or the PTBN podcast banner on the right-hand side. You can subscribe to the Place to Be podcast feed on iTunes or visit Stitcher and subscribe to the Place to Be podcast or download Place to Be Nation podcast app at placetobe.podbean.com/mobile on your iPhone or iPad. Also, you can now find it, what? ROH edition of the show exclusively at ROHWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at @Place2BNation and at @RealKevinKelly and like us at Facebook at Facebook.com/PlaceToBeNation. If you have any questions or suggestions for the show, email us at KevinKellyShow@PlaceToBeNation.com. And go get a fucking tan.
Thanks, Vince. I appreciate it. So, yeah, that was, thanks. That, of course, is Halloween costume. But, hey, our guest is on the phone right now. And I have known this man for 20 years. And I was thinking about that today. Like, when did I first meet our guest today? It was 1994, down in the sunshine state of Florida, where we both came from. But since then, went on to the highest of heights as Gangrel and World Wrestling Entertainment, and continues to tour the world. And, you know, it's a Halloween theme, so that's why we wanted to have my old pal. He's Gangrel. He's here on the Kevin Kelly Show. How you doing, sir?
I'm good, Kevin, man. How have you been?
I've been doing great. I was thinking about, I met you, your old tag partner, 1994, and it was a match. It was the Blackhearts, right? It was you and Dave Johnson versus Bruno and Danny, right?
Now we're going to have to switch this all around, Kevin, because you met Tom Nash and Dave Johnson, because I never tagged with him in 94.
See, so now you said you had a bad memory. I'm the one with a bad memory.
Well, I just dislike Tom that much, and I keep track of that part.
Oh, gotcha. Well, I knew I met you through Rusty Brooks.
You met me through Rusty Brooks, and but I think he was also at the was it the UWF tapings, was it?
That would have been it.
Yeah, it would have been UWF, and that would have been me and Tom Nash, maybe, and that might have been 92 or 91.
That makes more sense. But it's isn't it amazing that we met each other like 20 plus years ago? Doesn't it seem like it just went by in an instant, like the blink of an eye?
What's most amazing is that we both are still sane somewhat, and we're alive here to talk about it.
Yeah, right.
Right? I mean, this is a crazy business, and it's a crazy world, Kevin. And you know, we've lost a lot of friends. We've seen a lot of people go, and so to still be here, and you know, and still be able to talk to each other, and to be able to do an interview with you, and have a friendship that long is just awesome.
Yeah, it is great. Where are you headquartered these days?
I'm living out in Los Angeles, California, North Hollywood at the moment. I'm out here. I've been out here for about 6-7 years now.
Yeah. How's life out there? Is it la la land, like some people say, the land of fruits and nuts, or is it cool?
Well, I think it's a little bit of everything. You know, when I used to come out here to work, I used to tell Luna, I said, look, I want to live in California. She's like, give you 2 months there and you're going to hate it. I go, no, you're wrong. I'm going to love California. Well, by God, she was right. 2 months out here and I hated it. But I find myself still here. The weather's great, you know, and I started a wrestling school, with Rikishi and his cousin Reno, and we started a school out here called Knox Pro. And that's probably the main reason I'm still out here is because I got ties in with the school and a little company called Territory League we're trying to get off the ground. So I was just trying to finish those projects off, but I probably would head back to the great state of Florida.
Well, I was just down there last weekend, and it was one of those rare days in the month of October where it was cool for Florida. So it was only like 80 degrees and it wasn't humid and there wasn't a cloud in the sky. We were in Lakeland. We were at the Lakeland Civic Center with Ring of Honor, and it was just a beautiful day. And I was just like, oh, this is why people move to Florida, this day right here.
Yeah. That and the beach.
That's right, man.
Yep.
So, was wrestling always the plan for you when you were a kid growing up? How did you, for the audience out there that may not know, how did you find your way into professional wrestling?
Well, I like to say that I'm Whiskey Tango, and that's pretty much white trash. I thought it was real. All right. So I started life early. I was working a construction job. I already had a son on the way. I was 16 going on, I was 17. You know, he turned 17. No, I actually was 17. But I was looking for a better construction job, and I saw an ad in a newspaper, for wrestling, is a be a wrestler, make money on the weekends, blah blah blah. I said, well, by God, I'll go down there and beat somebody up for money. So
yeah.
I went down there, and Boris Malenko was there, and he's giving me the tour down there. I saw my one partner, Tom Nash. He had a big black eye, and I looked down there and I saw this guy. I go, wow, yeah, these are like, you know, they're really mixing it up, I guess, you know. So I was intrigued, and then I joined. I put my money down and everything, and then you know, about 3 weeks into everything, Rusty Brooks came up to me and he goes, did you think this is real or something? You know, because I was like really hesitant. I was leery. I was back, you know, I watched wrestling, you know, but I wasn't a huge, huge wrestling fan. You know, I had watched wrestling, been to a couple of wrestling matches, but I wasn't over the top about it. I always wanted to be a football player, and then I broke my neck playing football, so I couldn't play football anymore. So, you know, so I get down to wrestling, and it turns out that, you know, it isn't what I thought it was, so I was going to, I was going to leave. I told Rusty. I pulled him aside. One of the nicest men. He did the most for me in my career anybody's ever had. Rusty Brooks. I love him.
Yeah,
that.
Rusty's a gem.
Yeah, really great man. And I said, hey, this, I can't do this. You know, I thought it was something else. And he said, hey, kid, you got a gift. He says, you're going to do something someday. I mean, you're really good at this. You picked everything up. And he says, now that you know that you got to work with people, it's going to be even easier. And, my gosh, he talked me into staying, and it wasn't even like 2 months after that I was doing jobs for WWF. I was on, you know, on TV, and you know, and then I started doing other little TVs, breaking in, and then came up with the mask character that you were talking about, the Blackhearts, and
yeah,
went to Stampede from there, and then from Stampede it was also after that that steamrolled over into working in All Japan. So I was in All Japan when I was 18 years old. So working Kawada, Misawa, Gordy and Williams while they're on top, you know, Coffee the Furnace, Ken M. It was just stuff. Just an amazing experience. And then from, you know, then I just kept steamrolling, you know, 91, and ended up 90 with Bruno and Dan, your alumni, your buddies here.
Yes.
Ended up in Puerto Rico. In Puerto Rico, down there working in Puerto Rico for Carlos's opposition that opened up after the Brody thing and all that, where things fell apart down in Puerto Rico. So I ended up down there with Dapper Dan and Sassy Bruno Sassy.
Yep.
You know, and from Puerto Rico, that rolled over into, you know, still going to Japan tour, so I was going for a smaller company because me and my partner had a falling out. So he took Dave Johnson as a partner there, which you had there, Dave Johnson. And they went on to like Tennessee for a minute, and they had some issues, you know, with the WCW for like a brief month there, and had a feud with the Colts once. But while that was happening, I went on to Memphis and worked you know, down in there and learned a lot with Lawler and stuff like that. And was still going for smaller companies in Japan, IWA, and you know, and then things just kept rolling from there. And then ended up eventually, you know, I was always working for WWE or WWF at the time. If you remember, I used to do jobs as the Black Phantom.
Yeah,
they used to fly me to TVs just to give people tryout matches. But I never got the contract because, you know, always I had a battle against, you know, I tended to get heavy there. I liked my food.
well, so and again, that was always, you know, because at that time it was, we had to figure out, you know, everybody kind of had to look the same, and they really enjoyed that bodybuilder look and that huge look back in the early 90s. So it was a struggle, right?
Right. You know, but then they go, you know, they hire me, and then they say, you're not going to do the vampire thing. You know, Ben says, grow your hair in, get the rest of that weight off. But I got it down to where I actually had a six pack, almost an eight pack, almost those lower abs are coming in there. Then they out of nowhere say, hey, we're going to do the vampire thing. And they want me to wear a shirt covered up. And so it was like, I don't know, it was either the greatest ribbon in the world or just bizarro time. But I tend to go with bizarro because I don't think they well thought that out. But it was just timing. But it was a great timing because, you know, for years I've been telling them about, you know, since the movie The Lost Boys, I've been trying to tell people, you know, there's a group of vampires that'd be really, really awesome. They only have to win and lose. If they get their butts kicked, as long as they look cool getting their butts kicked, people aren't going to care because vampires are going to last forever. And, you know, Halloween's coming up, and, you know, it's really the time of vampires. And awesome.
Yeah.
So, well, and again, I remember, the whole thing.
I remember sitting, you know, like at the office in Stanford with you on, you know, a couple different occasions and talking and, you know, meeting with Russo. How did that whole Gangrel idea come about? What was the discussion, and was there some heat with the name, like originally was there like a just comic book or something like that? What's your recollection of that stuff?
All right, how this happened is they called me on a Friday, Vince Russo, hey, can you still do that vampire thing? Vince had already told me he never wanted to be a vampire character. He didn't like it, and he clearly didn't like it to the very end. He didn't understand it, and he didn't like it, and he was on the record for that. And Russo called me and said, hey, can you still do the vampire thing? I said, you know, I took the teeth out a long time, but can you still do it? I said, of course I can get something together. This was on a Friday. Now, like from Friday to that Sunday, when they taped, they came up with the stage with the elevator and the ring of fire. That was all Russo. And he's like, what else can we do? But they wanted me to wear a shirt, and they gave me all these ideas. But so I ended up picking the outfit I wore. That was on a Friday night or a Saturday morning I came up with last minute, just hit a Hot Topics up and walked out of there or something like that.
Yep.
And then it got there and they go, we were both like Kiss fans, so we like Gene Simmons. And I go, oh, it'd be cool, or spray the blood up, you know, instead of Gene Simmons hit the guitar solo and the blood would come out. So I'll go out and pay tribute with a chalice, I'll drink it and spray the blood, like I'm making love to my blood or something sensual, vampire-y or that. So that all that and that music and everything, they asked me about the music, what music did I think come out to you, and I told them the Toadies of Possum Kingdom, and which if you listen to that music, it's a lot similar to that. And so they came up with all that in the weekend, and here it comes to the name. The issue with the name is that I sent them loads of research, you know, I sent Bruce and them all this research, and White Wolf was a role playing thing, and Gangrel is actually a clan. This Bruja clans is Gangrel, it's a clan of vampires, not a person or a vampire. And so now that research was there, so I think this, all this stuff blew by in the wind and so fast and everything. Well, Vince, when they said they were going to start a thing, well, Vince came in and said, well, we need a name. And he looked down and he saw the Gangrel name. And he said, oh, Gangrel, I like that. So that was just sitting there on all the research. Well, what happened is that name, you know, is copyrighted, obviously. It's from White Wolf had it. It was a role-playing and it was a clan. So I guess the heat went down and Vince ended up having, I don't know, I don't know, you may know better than this than I do, that he fired all the legal people that were involved in that for not checking it out. But that sounds like him. I can't verify that, but that's what I heard.
Yeah, I don't think anybody actually got fired, but I do remember that we used to have to put disclaimers about your name like in the magazine. So right. I think there was some sort of financial settlement and we'll make good and whatever. I was part, and you may not know this, I was part of a very small committee of like two, and we sat around one afternoon trying to come up with names for you Now we didn't think any of the clan names, you know, like Gangrel or Bruja. Yeah. We were thinking more of traditional first name, last name. And
right.
I wish I would have saved that list, because some were really good. Some were very stupid. I'm not going to lie to you. Some were ridiculously dumb. But some like it was like, yeah, so we're kind of like that. Like we're narrowing down, you know, oh, that one sucks. Well, this one's not bad. Circle that. We'll kind of keep that one. And I wish I would have remembered, like, we probably had like four or five that were like, well, these are kind of the best of our ideas. And we gave him to Russo and he said, okay, thanks. And then it just wound up being Gangrel. But it happened in a minute. Boy, you went from being who, what? Oh, we're bringing Dave Heath back. Great. I love him. He's awesome. He's on TV. Hey, look. Wow, this Ring of Fire. Yeah. Shit, I love it.
Yeah, and at that time, you know, I had never even signed the contract yet. they pushed it right on through. I don't remember that or not. So it was just a weird time. It happened so fast. But I guess it turned out, though, they leased the man for like 5 years and they had to advertise it with disclaimers and stuff. And then, but they made the draw anniversary. And they used me, and then I guess White Wolf sold to another company, and they came out there looking for money for that, and they put it on TV, and I just went to it, I'm not paying it, and they all went to court. And from what I understand, I'm not 100% on this, but it got thrown out of court, and the judge pretty much said, well, the guy that's been wrestling with Gangrel the last 12, 13 years, that's Gangrel, take it tonight.
Yeah, I think you won. I think you won that one. How much, so I know you got the school Knox Pro out in Los Angeles area and you've got Territory League up and running, and where can people find that if they wanted to view those shows online?
Well, what do you think of a one student there? Are you following the TV?
What now?
A student, our first student out of the school was Rusev.
Really?
I trained him from like, me and, Reno basically, yeah. From he's been a little project from the get go. I'm so proud of him. He's doing so well. You know, I had to boast a little
awesome.
Bit.
That's
couldn't let this show go by without boasting just a little bit.
You got to go. That man? Are you kidding me? I hang my hat on all of you guys. I always was like, hey, I knew Dave Heath. I know him for Gangrel. I've known him for years. Told him he was great all this time. See, look now, look how great he is. But that's fantastic. So, was he? Let me ask you this: was he tough to train? Because of his background, or was he easy to train?
No. He was an awesome student. He moved here from Bulgaria just to become a pro wrestler. That kid slept in his car in between shifts. He was driving a taxi at night. He was delivering food. And he was doing something else. He had three jobs. He didn't miss one training. I'd get to the school in the morning time, like 7 a.m. I'd get there early. I'd see him out there sleeping in his car because in between shifts, instead of him going all the way back home, he came to the school this week so he can get that morning class, and then he'll go work and deliver food all throughout the daytime and then catch the evening class and then go to work driving a taxi and all like that. I mean, I never met somebody more dedicated and more that wanted to be a pro wrestler and chase that dream than him, and I'm so proud that he got it. And he picked everything up great. He was probably the easiest student I've had on the 5 years of school's been open. He was in the first, he was there for almost 3 years just training constantly, and you couldn't ask for a better student, and I couldn't be proud of anybody, and he deserves more, you know, he deserves everything he gets.
That's fantastic. See, and that's one thing that, like, I know in Ring of Honor, we always talk about who trained who and where this, you know, the new wrestler came from. And I think that's one of the things that, like, WWE doesn't do, and I wish they would, you know, because, again, to link him to you would automatically kind of identify him. Oh, I remember Gangrel. Wow, Gangrel trained him. Oh my gosh, I wonder what kind of stuff he learned. You know, it just leads to a lot more things. But I think that's really great, man. You should be really proud of him.
Yeah, well, we are. And the school's out here. It's in Sun Valley, which is right next to Burbank, North Hollywood, Burbank area, Sun Valley, and the Knox Pro. And we're out here, so we're in sunny California, and we're getting ready to head to class here in a little while. And so that's what we're still doing, and we've got Territory League out here. It's a team wrestling concept, like say it's the LA Templars versus the Las Vegas High Rollers. So we're trying to make it more of a city. You can get behind your city, like with sports teams like hockey and football and stuff like that. So and you have a heavyweight, a tag team, a cruiser, for example, women's or even a lucha. in that within those matches. And the team comes to the ring as a team, and then they go into the crowd where there's cages, where there's like little miniature MMA cages set up to be the locker room. So the teams, the locker rooms are in the crowd, and the matches come from the cage, and you can have one floating manager too. So that floating manager is the only one allowed out of that cage while a match is going on. So if you step out of the cage, you know, that match in the ring would be disqualified if the referee saw it. And then we have little twists like in a tag team division, with the, it's almost like a spin bin in hockey. The referee has the power to have a power play. If the guy is feeling breaking the rules, or the heel's manipulated the ref so much, they could send a baby face back to the cage. Whatever the situation be, the referee has the power to send you back to the for a penalty of 2 minutes. So it's, yeah, you know, it'll be 2-on-1, kind of like a power play or something in hockey like that. And then, so the matches, they go on, and the team wins or loses. So, you know, if there's three wins to two, and Las Vegas High Rollers had three, they win. But if you go into a draw or whatever there, then the captains of the teams will come in. They'll flip a coin, and the winner of the coin toss can choose to defer or pick the first two out in a rumble type of situation, which they call warfare, which is pinfall submission over the top rope. So every 2 minutes, somebody comes out of the cage until the last team or last member of a team is standing to take that fall. So it's really cool, and it's a different concept. But if you win that coin toss, what's cool is you could have a cruiserweight, or you could pick, I want a cruiserweight against a heavyweight, or a woman against a hardcore. So, you know, puts a little twist on it and mixes things up as the members come out of the cage. So it's a real fun concept, and it seems to be catching on. We're working real hard on that with Rikishi out here, and he's part of this school too, Rikishi. So,
now, if I was Vince McMahon, I would write you guys a check, right? And I would say, mm-hmm. I'm going to buy that concept from you, and I'm going to run it for 13 weeks, and then I'm going to give it back to you, and you can keep running it again. And then in 6 months, I'm going to write you another check, and I'm going to do it again on TV for 13 weeks. I think that would be such a refreshing shot in the arm for Raw, because just hearing the team concept and the way the matches unfold, and the penalty box and the, you know, power plays and things like that, I think that would just breathe a breath of fresh air into kind of a lot of times, because it feels like the same old, even though the athletes are different and they're more athletic and better in many regards than ever before. It just kind of, Raw to me kind of feels flat. And I think something like this would really boost it up.
Well, and what's cool too, Kevin, is it's not like, you know, every team on his team is not, you know, just, oh, hey, he's a good guy, he's a bad guy. He has so many different characters on his team, so there's so much storylines within this team trying to get along. Like, say you got like a Terrell Owens type of character out there just showing out, and he loses or causes a DQ. So now you're losing, but you're costing the team, not just yourself in a match, but you're costing your team. So there's all these little storylines within storylines of different characters and stuff you can go with this, and it's just stuff. Very exciting, you know, and you know, I really hope it takes off. We've been working on it, and but it's just so much fun. It just doesn't get boring, you know. It's just, you can keep from getting boring. It's an exciting project to be a part of.
Yeah, it sounds great. Now, Rikishi, of course, part of the Samoan dynasty, and you come from the Rusty Brooks, Great Malenko tree. How right. with did your styles of training match? Was there similarities? Were there great differences? How did you guys mesh as trainers?
Well, their concept is kind of, we butt heads. I'm not going to lie to you. We butt heads. We train. I like to have a foundation. I like for the guys to know wrestling in and out. I like for them to be able to even just train for 20 minutes, not even worry about hitting the ropes. Where their type of style is, get in there and just do it. You know, like that's what they were, most of them, like Keishan, and they come from the wrestling towns, and they were just, in their era, they were thrown in there on the road to learn under an elder, or just they learned on the job kind of training. So we're, at the school, we have a lot of conflicts like that between me and Reno, Keezy's cousin, because, you know, I'm fundamental, let it build, and then it'll just all be not, it'll come to you, action, reaction, it'll come to you. And you got to work on it over and over and over, where he's gets on to you, and he's like, damn, he wants him in there, and he's pushing him up to you know, I'll leave and earn headlines. I'll come in, they'll be doing drop kicks. And, oh, my. I was only gone a week. What happened here is getting in. So in a sense, though, the two things that kind of work together, because I would hold him back too long the way wrestling's evolved now. Wrestling's a bit faster and a bit demanding. It doesn't wait on you. You know, you have to be ready to go, because I would still want to go the old route. Like when Miro, Rusev, he went the old route. He was taking the old route. That's what I say. He was there 2-3 years. He was the old way. You're not ready. You're not ready. You're not ready. You're not ready. You know, it was very, very old school with him. But I see the results for that. And I think that I didn't choose that stuff the wrong way. I think I still believe in that way. But also with their style, it really forces the guys to, you know, they don't get bored. They stick with it and they're excited and it pushes them to new levels too. So between the two, we need to conflict with each other and not be out of eye all the time. But I think it works for the school in itself because it's giving kids the best of both worlds and they seem to be benefiting from it. But I'm just, you've known me for a long time, Kevin. You know, I'm so old school sometimes. Even though I do a vampire gimmick, it's sprung like a bit of entertainment into wrestling. You know, who would have thought a vampire would work? But
without the foundation that you had, it might not have worked. And that's why you were the right guy at the right time. But I want to know, were you surprised at how well it took off? And the reason I ask you this question is this, because you had been on the edge. You'd gotten a little taste, and then it was kind of pulled away, and then it was hope, and then no. And did you really think it was going to take off? And when did you know it took off? And how did you feel when it finally did take off?
I was never sure of the vampire thing. Luna was the biggest supporter of it, saying, it'll work, stick to it, write it out. I wasn't sure. Edge did that feud there, and I go, oh, this is cool. The people are responding. It's getting cool back. But my thing is, Kevin, is I never thought I belonged there. You know, I anything I got, I took is like just a bonus because I just love wrestling. You know, I just really, really want to wrestle. So I don't know. It was a very confusing time for me because I didn't quite get the fact. I didn't even know how to get over. I was getting a lot of heat because I would give people too much instead of going in there and taking my matches. So I wrestled all that time, but I wasn't prepared. I would hate to say this, but like a job guy, right? I was always putting people over. So I didn't have that mentality to go out and seize that moment. So I didn't realize that moment was right there and happening, you know? So I almost lost it. And whoop, they put me with Edge. And then I felt the momentum gaining with Edge and when Christian came in, then we came as a team. But when I knew it was working and I knew things were working, but I also feared it at the same time, my biggest fear is when they put us to the ministry. And then I said, okay, we're working. They put us to the ministry. And then when they broke us up from the ministry, I said, we were working too good. From there, you know what happens. They just snap at you. And that's what happened. So by the time I knew it was working and everything, it was probably too late to try to adjust the guidelines or speak up or do anything. But that's never been my nature. I've never been corporate guy, this guy. I was always just what I was trying to say earlier, what I was mumbling all my words. I was just grateful to be wrestling. It's just, and I'm still grateful that I wrestle every weekend out on the road. I'm in Portland and Salem this weekend, and I just came back from Vancouver. I'm out every weekend still doing what I love, and I'm grateful for that. And I was just grateful for that too when I was there. But I did realize that when we got put in the ministry, that, oh crap, this stuff really is over and working, because I've been with Luna. Luna took the blinders off my eyes when I got with her, you know, like the Matrix, you know what I mean? I took the pill with her and now I saw the whole Matrix, you know, I saw wrestling different when I got with Luna. She smartened me up about so much stuff. So time we were in the ministry, I realized, oh crap, that's when I realized this thing really was working, but now it's going to be done.
And
that
again,
makes any sense with all
it
that
does, it's funny. It makes sense to me because not only because I know you and I know the story, but I've heard that story so often whenever I've talked, you know, friends like Stevie Richards, for example, that's a name that comes to mind, you know, it's always, you get to a certain point and you don't get to enjoy it as much as you could have because you're afraid it's going to get taken away from you. And that's something you guys all, I think we all struggle with. We struggle with as human beings. But in wrestling, a very subjective business to begin with, it's more so because it's not about wins and losses. It's about performance and who's grading that performance. And it's, you know, what do they think? Well, they might think you have heat or you don't want to speak up or all the nonsense that plagues so many of us in wrestling.
Yeah.
Well,
hello?
Hey,
hello?
Oh, yeah, I'm still here. Let me ask you about Luna, because She's a huge part of your heart and your life to this day. And I know you guys married on Halloween. So that was what year? 1995?
94.
Okay. Time goes fast. And it was the relationship was very stormy, I would say. Is that a fair description? Just because of her personality, it kind of had its ups and downs.
I just always call her Hurricane Luna.
Hurricane Luna would blow into town, and you weren't quite sure which side of the storm you were on, right?
The predictably unpredictable she was. It was up and down. It was never boring. It was like waking up with a different person every day. A lot of people don't realize that, she had a lot of depression. She actually had schizophrenia. She hit a lot of stuff from WWE that I don't know if they would ever hire her if they totally understood what was really going on in her head. It wasn't an easy world for her, and it wasn't easy for anybody involved with her, but also at the same time, she had one of the biggest hearts, one of the nicest people, you'll ever meet. I just miss her so much. It's a tough one.
Yeah. And I know like just the heart that she had, and that was the perfect word to describe her for somebody that on the outside might have looked one way. But if you took the time and you were lucky enough to get to know her, you get to see that person that is on the inside, and was just pure and good, and saw the good in people, and had no problems at all speaking up for somebody and wanting people to get an opportunity. That was she came from a very selfless place. And she was very much about giving back to wrestling and caring about, those that deserved an opportunity.
Well, yeah, I mean, Luna was just always out to help somebody. I remember we were working in Daytona for, Nasty Ronnie?
Oh, yeah,
sure. He runs shows over there. He ran a right. Iron Horse, and I went over there, and I was like one of the only guys on the show, and it was a women's show, and, I got paid, and Rudy got paid way halfway back home to Tampa from Daytona. It's a call from China, who was just kept over Patty and Jeremy Lawler at the time. I don't know where she was. This is before the whole China thing. And she's like, I didn't get paid and blah, 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 blah. Well, Luna went to me. I'm usually my stop. I'm like, we're halfway home. I got paid. I'm like, I'm happy. She goes, no, this is unacceptable. And she had me turn the car around, drive all the way back to Daytona and get my payday to China, which was just Joni at the time, and she did that stuff more than often. And then we said people that she's helped and stayed back. A lot of them did that on us, and that's hard for her. A lot of them, excuse my language, but a lot of them really just, they turned on her, and that was really, really hurt. So she wore a hard ass sleeve, and she also wore a fanny on her other sleeve, but, and then she was just crushed because she loved and lived for pro wrestling. That was her life. That's all she cared about. She defended it. If you went up to her and said, hey, wrestling's fake and a gimmick, they do everything to keep you from her ripping the eye out of this torture city. My uncle or my father was cutting his away on his trucker and, she'll cut promos. She defended pro wrestling, to the very end. I tell a lot of people, and I've said this a lot of times, she's like a beautiful wildflower on the side of the road. If you take that wildflower, you try to keep it, it's going to die. You just got to sit back and enjoy that beauty for what it is in this natural environment. And that's the most important environment. Unfortunately, they tried to change her. They expected something different of it. They should have just admired the beauty for what it was and just rode with it,
Yeah. Well, I know that... It was a beautiful pairing, the two of you, and I always enjoyed seeing you two together. But I know that the best opportunities lie ahead for you and for the people that you're training and the future and everything that you have coming down the road. We got just a couple seconds left, but I wanted to just I'm so proud of you. You know what I mean?
Oh, thank you.
Because you spent a lot of time you spent a lot of time kind of kicking yourself and not giving yourself enough credit. But you're a fantastic talent. You always have been. You always will be. And I'm proud to know you. I'm proud of you as a person. So I just want to make sure here in this very public forum here on my show that I come out and say that, because I really do mean it in my heart, man. I'm really proud of you.
Well, thank you so much. It means so much to me. You know, and it really was lesson to me, was just about having the respect for my peers and stuff like that. I never expected the good things I got from it. It was all just bonus and gravy on the top. And to get this, you to say that to me, that's just means more to me than any payday I could ever get wrestling, you know.
Well, good. You have to give that now to Joni, so, because she didn't get paid. How about that skunk nasty Ronnie, boy? A leopard never changed his spots. I'll tell you what. Man, if he wasn't running out, he tried that fake. His wife Debbie came in the building one time screaming and yelling that he had gotten beaten up, and you know, somebody stole the box office from him, and he didn't have any money. That old gag.
Oh, Ronnie Galletti,
what a gimmick! Hey, so tell the fans where they can see Territory League. It's available. I understand it's an online viewing for the fans, right?
Yeah. You can just log on to IAM Wrestling TV, and they show a lot of the Territory League stuff on there. Plus, it's a little thing where they'll show three matches that week, and the fans can actually call in and vote on that match. That's not necessarily Territory League matches, but matches from around different indies. And then me and Leticia have a show on there called The Force, and then we actually critique the matches and give our opinions and our thoughts and stuff like that. But also Territory League has a lot of stuff up on the YouTube. So you can just go to Territory League, hit Territory League in there, and it'll come up, and you can watch a lot of the old stuff that where it first started at. And then, you can go to Knox Pro, Knox Pro Entertainment, Knox Pro, KNOKXPRO, and you can find the wrestling school on there, and you can check that out. And it'll also link you right back to Territory.
We'll make sure we put up links for the school, for the company, for Territory League, and for all that good stuff. And the website too, where, you know, if fans in Portland or wherever you're traveling to, they want to come see you live, where can they find information about you and where to see you live at wrestling events?
Well, you can always check me out on Facebook at Gangrel David Heath, just Gangrel David Heath, or Twitter, Gangrel 13, or even Instagram, Gangrel David Heath. So basically, you know, I'm always on there posting stuff, pushing it up, and doing a lot of things in Portland too. They got a little TV up there, but they got big things growing. So you'll see that's going to come up soon. You'll be surprised. It's a good surprise coming up. I think wrestling, I think, you know, it's going to be another surge in wrestling. And I hope Territory, like Little Leaf stuff, can come back. And I see things building slowly, and you're well aware of that with what you're doing with Ring of Honor. And I really have a lot of hope for yourself, because they say it's all in cycles. I just hope I'm here to come back around and finish this cycle.
I agree with you. I think we're on the crux here of something big, and I'm glad that you're going to be a part of it. I'm glad I'm going to be a part of it. We've got to get together real soon, and you know, maybe the 100th anniversary of Rusty Brooks in professional wrestling, we'll get together for that. all right. Hey, listen, let's stay in touch, and let's figure out some business. Let's do some business together, okay?
Okay, Kevin, man. Great to talk to you, and I can't wait to see you.
Yeah, same here. All right. That's Gangrel, everybody. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. Special holiday edition of the Kevin Kelly Show continues here on the Place to Be Nation.
This is the king of old school, Steve Corino, and you've heard all the rumors, and it's true. The Steve Corino Show is here. We talk about wrestling. We talk about baseball, movies, television, anything you want to talk about. New guest every week. That's right. The Steve Corino Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at placetobenation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials one and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on placetobenation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Greetings, friends. Ben Morse from Place to Be Nation's Main Event here. Tired of other podcasts constantly stuck in the past? Every other week, we give you a roundtable discussion of what's happening in wrestling today. Place to Be Nation's main event. We're holding everybody else down.
Looking for something different in your pro wrestling podcast? Look no further than the Pro Wrestling Super Show. Join me, Stephen Graham, every week as I'm joined by a rotating door of guests as we discuss a single topic each show, ranging from ECW pay-per-view reviews, wrestler snapshots, top six lists, and anything else you can think of. That's the Pro Wrestling Super Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible. The Titans are wrestling. Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans are wrestling off.
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for the show and breakdown matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Bob. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling.
You know you want to hear it.
Back with this special Halloween edition of the Kevin Kelly Show here on the Place to Be Nation. I want to thank our guest Gangrel for coming on. I really have just a deep appreciation for him as a person. And I think make sure you go check out. We've linked to the Territory League and his Twitter. So make sure you give Gangrel a follow and go see him live because he's awesome. And one of the nicest guys I've ever met in wrestling. But, well, of course, it is Halloween. It's one of the reasons why we wanted to have Gangrel on here at this time. You know, JR, we had the ghost of the ghost of Bray Wyatt on Sunday at Hell in a Cell. And
I mean, Kevin, first of all, did you enjoy my Halloween costume before?
Yes, okay. I did.
I know you're very familiar with Vince, so I figured you'd dig it.
Again, I was going to ask you because I follow Cranky Vince on Twitter, and for the past week or so, Cranky Vince has been sort of an old school private detective going around rousting suspects here, finding out where all his subscribers went.
So he's been listening to the Place to Be podcast.
Why is that? What you guys have been doing?
No, not like that. But we did have a Vince mystery murder caper for a while.
That's probably where they got it from.
Sons of bitches.
Dirty bastards. Mm-hmm. But where do you think, what did you think about, this?
I thought the match was pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know. The ghost thing didn't bother me as much as this. I mean, I've seen people like say they're quitting the show or quitting the promotion as a fan. And I don't know. I'm in a weird spot, man, with wrestling. We record Monday nights, Scott and I, so I barely watch Raw. Like, it's on while we're recording, but I don't really listen, and it goes by quick for me because, like, two of the 3 hours we're recording.
Yeah.
And I try and watch a little bit of SmackDown here and there. I mean, the only real new stuff I've been watching regularly is just the pay-per-views because we go out and watch them, or this past one I watched at home with my buddy, but I'm, like, the wrong person to ask about, like, how boring wrestling WWE is or how awful it is because I don't watch enough of it to give a shit, you know? It's like, I don't know. I was like, oh, whatever. All right. Bray Wyatt came out of a tornado, whatever that was, hologram.
Yeah.
And scared Ambrose. And, all right, that should be a good feud. I'll check it out when I see Survivor Series. And in between, anything that's really good, I read in Dan McGinn's Raw Report, PlayStation.com, and I listen to on PTB and Main Event. Scott Griscoll and the boys will break it down for me. And I go search it out if it's really good. I mean, otherwise, it's pretty much just older stuff for me and a little bit of Ring of Honor here. I'll watch TNA sometimes when we're recording on Wednesdays. And that's where I'm at with modern wrestling watching. I mean, probably the least consistent I've watched in 15 years, maybe 19, probably since I was watching Gangrel when I went to,
yeah,
first went
right
to college.
Now, is that a byproduct of the product or is that a byproduct of your life?
Life.
Okay.
Because I still make it's still appointment TV for me. Like I put it on, although I do tend to, like, say it's a night where that's on, Raw's on. All right, so this past Monday we had to watch, we live watched Nitro from the network, and we do like a chat of it on the episode. So I had that on one of. I have two TVs in my basement, so I had that on one, and I chose the Monday night game over Raw on my other TV. So I went completely dark on Raw. I probably wouldn't have made that decision in the past. So yeah, I think partly it's because of that, but partly it's just the way my life is structured.
Yeah. I think again, but I'll say it this way. If it was must watch TV.
Yeah.
Over, you know, what was a decent Monday night game, right?
Yeah, it was a good Monday night game.
It was a good matchup, but everybody, I don't think anybody expected Washington to stay close.
Well, you may have other reasons to watch the game, you know.
What?
You might have other reasons to watch the game, you know.
Oh, I smell what you're frying. Mm. Little fantasy football.
Yeah, you, make you know, you might have.
I understand.
You might have a little investment in the game, so that, sure. There's maybe reasons I chose it.
But the if Raw was red hot, maybe, just maybe, you're flipping, at least flipping back and forth between the Monday night game and Raw. You know, you might have an eye on the score.
Yeah,
if you might have ESPN up, but you're watching Raw. Raw's going to be on if it's red hot.
If Raw's hot, I have that on and I have like Stat Tracker up.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So it's a little bit of both. And I think we're, you know, a lot of folks are in sort of that. I think everybody's kind of waiting for it to get good. And that's one of the things, like, you know, we get through to Royal Rumble time and then it's like, oh, okay, now we're excited again. And
well, I feel like even now, I feel like it starts like it's Survivor Series, I feel.
You
nowadays.
Think so?
Yeah, because December, like, TLC is usually a pretty good show when you kind of know where you're headed for Mania. And then you get that couple week break over the holidays where they kind of take a couple weeks off now. And then January, you get amped and, you know, we're going to the Rumble for the second straight year. So I think come January, I'll be really excited for the product again.
I know for Ring of Honor, it had that feeling Saturday in Lakeland because a lot of it is kind of the run up to Final Battle.
Mm-hmm.
So there was, you know, everything seems important because Final Battle is such a huge event on pay-per-view. So, you know, I understand that.
I think part of the problem too with Raw, it's you can miss it because every week is the same. Yeah. I mean, the only thing you may miss is like a really good match, but they deliver a lot of really good matches. So it's... Mm-hmm. It's almost like they're cursed because, Cesaro and Dolph, great, 3-star TV match. Well, I'll probably see it again on SmackDown if I watch SmackDown, or I'll see it again in 2 weeks on Raw when they redo it again. They're just in a weird spot. They just have a lot of solid wrestlers without direction, and Cena and Orton kind of ruling the roost, and you know now Bryan's out even longer with this injury.
Yeah.
Punk's not coming back. I mean, I don't know where they're going to turn. I don't know. I mean, they have guys ready. Now they're punishing Cesaro for that stupid Twitter comment, which is asinine because to me, he's a guy that they could easily elevate and get over. He has a connection to the crowd. He's got the Stone Cold look going on now. I don't know if you saw it on Sunday night. He had a shaved head and like a full beard. And he's a guy who's got a connection with the crowd and can wrestle their style. He's a big guy, personable guy. And it's like, what are you doing? Because he made a stupid comment about Cena and Orton. They have wrestled 10,000 times.
I hope they release him and he comes back to Ring of Honor.
Oh, that's not good for him.
What do you mean it's not good for him?
You don't need him. You got to move on. He's going to move on.
I understand that.
Focus on your guys.
Hey, I have no problem at all, but he's the one that, like, well, even though I had mentioned him to Dr. Tom, like, in 2010, I'm like, you guys are out of your mind if you don't sign Claudio. And he was like, who? And I told him. And I said, start watching some of his stuff. Wow, he's really good. So, yeah, I know. I want everybody to be happy. I want everybody to make millions of dollars, but I hate that oppressive control that they have over everything and everything and everybody. Hey, so do you think that, like, for SmackDown, they're going to do, because that's actually going to air on Halloween, do you think they're going to do, like, any goofy Halloween stuff?
I didn't read the spoilers. I didn't see anything floating out there that they did. I mean, which is a big miss to me. Like, that's... I feel like they have so many... And I guess I shouldn't rip it until I know for sure, but I think they have so many, like, really easy layup opportunities of things they could do to improve shit that they just don't do.
I would imagine that, like, mass watching all the old Halloween Havocs is probably a good thing to do this week, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. They have been showing, though, one of the smart things on the network. They're finally getting some semblance of programming acumen, so they've been showing old Havocs on Sunday nights.
One of the things that I remember most about Halloween Havoc was, and I can't remember which event it was, but I really just remember the moment when the cage caught on fire and Great Muta had to use his mist to put the fire out on the cage. Was that like 91, 92?
I don't know what the topic. No, it wouldn't have been 92. I don't know if
it was an electrified cage.
Well, 91 was the Chamber of Horrors, but he wasn't in that match. That was Abby when he got electrocuted by Cactus Jack when he flipped the switch.
Was that your favorite Halloween wrestling moment?
No, I don't. I mean, I guess you got to differentiate, right? Right, like actual Halloween moments or just scary moments. So there's different ways you can go with this, right? My favorite scary moments were the Jake the Snake Ultimate Warrior stuff in 91.
Yeah.
Those are scary moments. Halloween, I mean, the 2002 SmackDown is kind of the torchbearer for WWE Halloween Fair. The one with Cena first wrapped, and they had the party in the back. Some of my favorite Halloween memories in the company are, and it's Havoc 89, Dan is confirmed for Muda.
Thank you, Dan.
This thing out.
By the way, should we wish Dan happy one-year anniversary here at Place to Be Nation? Should we wish him?
I mean, I guess.
That's kind of a no on your part.
Yeah, okay. Happy anniversary, Dan.
Okay. Let's move on.
I lost my train of thought. Oh, so my favorites memories are... I said happy anniversary, Dan. Shut up. Some of my favorites were the primetime Halloweens. I don't know if you remember any of those, when they had the desk with Gorilla and Bobby, and they'd be dressed up in different costumes. They always did something each year for Halloween. That's what I liked. I like those.
Monsoon was like a... He had like an Indian headdress on, I think, once. Did he?
Yeah, I think it was the Abe Lincoln one time, too.
Yeah. That's always funny stuff.
Yeah, they had different ones. They were good. Those were good.
I would have loved to have heard the interplay between the producers, you know, like Kevin Dunn or whoever was a producer, saying, okay, here's what we want to do for for primetime. Monsoon, we want you to wear a, you know, this mask or this headdress. And Brain, you're going to be, we want you in a weasel outfit or a gorilla costume or whatever. Just always fun stuff. I would have loved to have heard that. Because I bet that, you know, just the sales pitch that would have gone and just them busting balls coming back with, you want me to wear this? What?
And there was one with Gorilla. It was like a Gorilla mask. And it turned out that it wasn't him the whole time. And Gorilla comes on the set and like beats up Bob. It was something weird like that. That one was on 24/7, the old one. I think maybe it was the 88 or 87 Halloween. I forget. But yeah, they always did fun stuff there. So, and of course, Halloween Havoc. Yeah, I mean, it kills me with the network and these pay-per-views not meaning as much. Like, why don't they do more stuff like that? Those are layup ideas to me. You know, and have a Halloween Havoc special on the network, even if it's not the pay-per-view. Whatever, do something. 2 hours, your young stars in gimmick matches. Something. I mean, you have this outlet. Why not utilize it as best as possible?
Right. I think, again, they have so much. And like what Gangrel was talking about with the concept of Territory League, which is a unique twist. A different way of presenting professional wrestling. It's a team concept. I think any of that can work. And I think that they have to embrace those types of things to make the product special and to make a Raw different and unique. And then on the network, put together these Hollywood theme like specials. Listen, if you're watching the Food Network and you watch now, they're talking all about Halloween and right. Halloween food. And then after this, they're going to segue into Thanksgiving and then into Christmas and then into the Super Bowl parties. And there's always something food theme related. All of the shows will have food themes. The Halloween Chopped, Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
You don't have to sell me on holiday traditions. I mean, we're all about it here at PTBN. The last promotion, though, to do a tag team series is out of business, and that was the AWA. But, no, I do think, or a team
but
challenge.
But they went out of business not because this.
That's just
right.
A joke. But, no, I do think they need to mix things up. And I do think, I mean, like, what about this idea? Why not have a network title that you give to someone, and it's only defended on the network? We might have talked about this. It's only defended on the network, and you have a tournament to determine the top contender on the network. It airs different times. Like, all right, this tournament match is going to air Wednesday at 3 p.m. Make sure you tune in to see it. You know, do stuff like that where it's network exclusives. And I think we've talked about it before, too. Why not simulcast Austin's podcast in the mornings, 8 to 11, like Mike and Mike in the morning? You have Austin interviewing different wrestlers, simulcast from his studio. Cheap, easy programming that would kill number. People would definitely sign up for that. You know how many people listen to his podcast?
Yeah, I do. As a matter of fact,
I mean, we're second only to him, you know.
it's a conundrum and an enigma wrapped in a confusing time. There's so much that they could do, but they are doing what they are doing. So if we had like one, like, I guess, I don't know. Well, think about it like this. Would you dress up when you were a kid as your favorite wrestler? And is anybody doing that now? I mean, that's always kind of a gauge, right? Like,
I think so.
Hot in pop culture means the kids are going to wear you for Halloween. Do you think there's any WWE wrestlers out there for Halloween this year?
Yeah, I do. But I think it's kids that are fans, right? So it's not like widespread, like where there were probably 8 million kids out there with Steve Austin in 1998. But I think now your fans may go as John Cena or The Rock or something. But I don't think. I mean, no one's going as Corporate Kane. I can tell you that much.
I'll go as Corporate Kane. How about that? When I go out with the kids tomorrow night, that'll be fun, right?
There you go. That's no shirt though, just pants. You know that?
What?
That's Corporate Kane. I did go as the Bushwhackers with my cousin back in 1991.
Now, how old were you in 1991?
11 or 12.
That's tough to pull off at 11.
Yeah, we did a good job. We had the charcoal beards and the hats.
Did you eat the sardines like they did?
No, we didn't lick each other either.
Did you lick each other?
No. And then we turned into the sheep herders and we had a bloody brawl in the back.
There you go. Now you're talking. That would have been the coolest costume ever. You're freaking sheep herders.
There you go.
That's awesome.
That's like Scott Criscola's dream costume. He loves the sheep herders.
He loves the sheep herders. See, I loved I think about, to me, whenever I think about the great Muta, who was one of my all-time favorites, I think about Halloween, because I think about that match, 89, Halloween Havoc. And to me, him and the match with Abdul the Butcher and Cactus Jack, that crazy electric chair match, those are like, you know, strong memories. I would have dressed up as the great Muta. I think that would have made a cool costume.
You still can.
I could do it. I could pull off the Abdul the Butcher look right now.
Yes.
I'm a little light-skinned for it, but that's okay.
Have you seen these parents, the one picture where they have the kid in blackface dressed up as Ray Rice dragging the doll?
No.
Yes. Search it out. It is effed up, man. It's literally this little kid, white kid, in blackface with a Ray Rice jersey, cleats and pant tight, you know, whatever, football pants, dragging a African-American, like, Cabbage Patch doll or whatever. That's supposed to be legit. I mean, it's...
That is bad.
Not good. Not good.
See, I'm sure that the Ray Rice costume was making the circuit this year of adult Halloween parties.
Right.
You know, you have your girlfriend and she's got the black eye and, you know, no shoes. You can kind of do that. And even that's sort of like pushing it. But with a kid in blackface?
That's so wrong. I mean, did he need the blackface? I mean, the point wasn't made. Okay, it's Ray Rice. He's got the jersey and he's dragging the woman with him. I mean, do we need to do that?
Right. Now it went from insensitive to just racist.
Right. It's just straight. I mean, it's really just one of the most racist things I've seen. But
well, I know Dan, I heard, was very upset that they canceled Honey Boo Boo. And he was really hoping that they were going to work in that, you know, the sexual
chocolate
deviant perverted the perverted kid toucher there that's now dating mama. So anyway,
did you hear that on Raw? They were chanting sexual chocolate. Mark Henry like kind of acknowledged it and did a little hip swivel.
Did he really?
Yeah.
And then he turned.
Another pointless turn. Another stupid Mark Henry Big Show feud. And I like Mark Henry a lot. He's been really good over the last half a decade, but. Jeez, like, you know, people were kind of into that team. Like, did we need that? Did you need to do that? At the expense of beating the shit out of your tag champs, too? Spinning the wheels.
Just, that's it.
They spin the wheels from May till November now.
Yeah. And then how about, like, spin the wheel, make the deal?
Mm.
Was that a good concept in wrestling? Did you like that? Was that kind of scary?
Spin the wheel, make the deal.
Right?
That was the first year, man. The other guys chanting in the bar. Of course. That was awesome. You had Jake the Snake and Sting in the Coal Miner's Glove, which is like the worst possible choice to come on and spin the wheel. You had Vader and Cactus Jack. They fought the next year. Was that the only two they did? I feel like everyone always talks about spin the wheel, make the deal, like it was a staple of WCW, but I think those are the only two times they did it.
Probably. And then, of course, they brought it back so that they could have
Raw Roulette.
And that wasn't scary at all. I loved the promos though. That really set the mood just right.
Oh yeah.
All right. So let's you know, we could talk about this stuff for forever, but we've got trending stories to do, and
let's do one more thing. I just wanted to get your favorite costumes in wrestling.
Oh, I see. So
doesn't have to be Halloween themed, scary themed. What's your favorite like costume? Your favorite
I'll tell
look?
You what. One that is almost timeless now for me is Goldust. I think that that's been 18 years, 95, so 19 years.
Yeah, he came in late 95. It's funny because I was just reading our friend and contributor here at PTBN, Scott Keith, posted up his re-review of In Your House 4, and that was Goldust's debut, and he talks about how much of a just a fart bomb he was early on between the vignettes and his first couple of matches. Were just terrible. No heat, no reaction, and saying how it was unlike Vince to let that character go out there and eventually get over. Normally, they probably would have turfed it pretty quick and they just brought him in back in his Dustin or something, but they stuck with it, and then in December, things turned with the Razor Ramon feud kicking off. But anyway, my little Goldust story.
That is a great one. The many looks of the Undertaker.
What's your favorite Taker look?
I am in the minority, but I was a big fan of American Badass.
Mm-hmm.
Classic Dead Man. It was always a little too cartoony for me.
So this gray glove Dead Man, purple glove Dead Man, and then there's like leather Dead Man. That was like 96, where he started to become a little bit more realistic.
Yeah,
with the Mankind feud. That was like Velvet Undertaker, and then he had like leather Undertaker for a bit, and then that was like with his main event run with Austin. Then he was Ministry Undertaker, and then he was that weird biker / Ministry Undertaker, and then he was American Badass.
I'm kind of leaning towards, you know, somewhere in the from the Taker Austin feud time frame through the beginning of American Badass. That was kind of my thing. Mm-hmm. The purple glove and the gray glove before that, you know, just a little hokey for me. But I always appreciated the detail on the robes that he came out on, man. That stuff was awesome. And those seamstresses worked for weeks to make those things, and they look just awesome. I thought they were incredible. That was some of my favorite stuff.
I did like how at WrestleMania 13, when he won the title, he came out in the gray. It was like a throwback when he beat Sid.
Yeah. Now, I'm a fan of like throwback jerseys, except for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, my God. Those are awful.
I can't stand it.
Brutal.
But I'm a fan of wrestling throwbacks. Mm. So I do like that. And I think that, you know, when somebody can pull it off, it kind of works for me. I think today, now we go, we don't have that opportunity anymore, because there doesn't seem to be, it's a lot of homogenized, you know, everybody kind of looks the same. There's different looks and different body types and everything, but it's a lot of boots and trunks. There's not a lot of cool costumes, you know.
Mantar. Cena's pretty,
yeah, where's the Mantar nowadays?
Papa Shango.
Was he in your top five? Mantar?
Mantar? I don't know. Papa Shango is. The Berserker is.
What, did you like Papa Shango better than The Godfather?
Yeah, I think I did. I think I did.
What was scarier, Jake and Warrior, or Jake and Macho Man with the snake bite on the arm?
Oh, snake bite on the arm.
Yeah. I think I was in my 20s and that scared me.
So you want a really quick, funny Papa Shango kind of story?
Please.
So the other night, we do our Place to Be podcast Halloween episode, right? We had a big Halloween party. We had like 12 people on. And one of the guys was on was our good, good friend, Nate Milton from the Kings of Sport podcast. He does live audio wrestling a lot. He does the Review and Impact with Pollock and Wei Ting. And he so he comes on our shows every now and then. He was a guest in the house. And my buddy Roger, who was a big fan of the Attitude Era and then like stopped watching and now just got back into it like last year. I think SummerSlam 2013 is what got him back in when we started. I became friends with him last summer and I kind of got him into it. And now he's all the way back in. So he comes on the show. And we're talking, and Nate Melton's nickname is The Godfather, right? And he was an African-American guy, so he got a little bit of an accent, you know, a little. Got the Godfather sound. He plays up the gimmick a little bit. So Roger messages me, and I got so much going on. I'm trying to coordinate these 12 people. I'm running the ship. I got the music. I'm trying to set up the music and the sound clips and everything else. And he writes me, and he's like, He's like, is that the Godfather? I'm like, yeah, it's the Godfather. He's like, do you care if I mark out a bit for him and, you know, and whatever, ball wash? I'm like, do whatever you're going to do, man. I'm thinking, because I know he's listened to the Kings of Sport before, I'm thinking he knows it's Nate Milton. And that he's like, I'm just a big fan of Nate Milton because Nate's awesome. So he, and you have to hear it to really appreciate it. You got to go listen to it. So he's like, Godfather, or Nate. He's like, I just want you to know I'm a huge fan. And Nate's like, oh, thanks, man. He's like, the Ho Train. I was really into it. And Nate's like going along with it because he thinks he's just like making a joke, like, oh, you're the Godfather, haha.
No.
And then my light bulb goes off, and I'm like, Roger. I said, do you really think that's like the Godfather? He's like, it's not. I'm like, oh, it had to be one of the, I mean, in my 343 episodes that we've done in the PTB, it was my favorite moment. It was unbelievable. Like, you hear it, and Nate's being so nice to him, and the wheels are turning, and it's unfolding, and then everyone realizes what's going on, and just like, it was fantastic. It became a running joke for the rest of the show. So, I mean, if anyone, wants an introduction to the hilarity of PTB, that's one of my favorite episodes. The whole episode was off the wall, but that one was, what a moment. Really funny stuff.
Just go with this rule. That if it's Halloween related, it's probably somebody in a costume, somebody pretending to be somebody else.
Right.
But that's so great. Is there going to be a when will there be a getting together of all the PTB guys and gals? Hmm.
In Philadelphia, West Philadelphia, born and raised.
And that'll be in the month of January, right around the Royal Rumble time.
We'll be there for the Royal Rumble and for Ring of Honor. A bunch of our guys already got their ROH tickets.
Awesome.
We'll be there. Although it's a little bit of a riot, I hear, so we can't just stumble back drunk like last year. Well, me stumble getting carried back, but...
Wait, did you really?
Well, because I was sick, remember? I was sick as a dog.
I don't remember that at all.
I almost didn't even make it.
I would have never known that you were sick.
Oh, I mean, I was... Well, I'm not going to rehash the story on our air again, but it was I was in very rough shape from the minute we landed in Pittsburgh until I dragged myself out of bed. I mean, I was just throwing out everything all afternoon.
I remember that.
No energy, but I wanted to come meet you. So,
Bill Ritchie,
you blew me
says,
off in Providence. So.
I did not.
I kind of did.
Bill Ritchie on Critical Bill 77 on Twitter says he's going to dig his Brood shirt out.
Nice.
And give it a listen. He's looking forward to. He's going to listen to the show. I'm very excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. So let's do this. Let's because we've got trending stories to do. We've got a game we wanted to play.
Well, speaking of games, real quick, prediction. Game 7 is basically reset right now, so that's why I want to do this right now. Bottom of the third is 2-2. Two outs in the bottom of the third. Who's going to win this game?
I'm going to go with Kansas City.
Okay.
Because it's at home. They get last ups.
Okay.
But it's pretty exciting, huh?
It's been a good series, yeah.
Yeah. The games haven't been close, but the results have led to now a game 7. So I think it all works out. And, you know, I didn't think Kansas City had anything left just for some reason. Like I pictured like a Colorado type of thing when they ran the table a few years ago and then hit the wall against the Red Sox.
You heard that from me on our last episode.
No.
Jesus Christ. Cribbing stuff left and right.
What are you talking about?
We talked about...
That was my point.
Let's go to trending topics.
Wait a minute. You can't just start with trending topics. We've got business.
Oh, that's right. Let's do business.
There's business.
Yeah. Boneheads.
Wait, where were you there last Sunday?
No. Roger was away. Dan didn't want to leave his apartment. So my friend Andy and I just watched it here. We did get Boneheads takeout Saturday night, though.
Okay, so that counts. So how does, let me ask you this, Boneheads, just amazing wings, how do they do traveling? Like, do they, is it better in the restaurant or is it equally as good at home?
Just as good.
Yeah?
They really do travel well. I mean, you know, maybe a half a percentile better there live.
Because you get the atmosphere, you get the side dishes, you get everything just hot right out of the fryer.
Right. But they're still really good.
Yeah.
So they have this new deal. There's a company here locally called Munchy Giraffe, and it's clearly just a stoner company, right? They open at 4:20 p.m. and they run till 4:20 a.m. And they partner with different restaurants and places that don't do delivery, and they do delivery for them. So it's a home delivery company. So this company will go to the restaurant you want, get your order, and bring it to you for a fee. And now Boneheads is in conjunction with this company. They reached a deal to, so now you can get Boneheads delivered, which was not possible before.
And this is where?
In Rhode Island.
Well, can we have it all around the country?
You'd have to call Bunchy Giraffe and ask them if they can deliver to where you are.
Jesus.
They had buffalo chicken egg rolls on Sunday, Kev. We missed those. Mondays is their steak night. They have steak fries and different kind of boneless chicken steaks and everything else. Buffalo chicken chowder is back for the season as well. A lot of good stuff going on, as always. They have their Monster Mash and Vampire Drink Budokan bowls, which are basically scorpion bowls. So definitely check them out. Boneheads Wing Bar. You can do it at facebook.com/boneheadwings and on Twitter as well.
Like the Black Scorpion?
Yes, Ole Anderson announces the order as it's coming to the table.
That would be great. Hey, by the way, congratulations to my pal, Steve Carino. King Carino and I have been voted best announced team.
Best looking announced team?
No, best announced team overall on a poll on the on Dave Meltzer's website. How about that?
There you go. I mean, in fairness, there's not a lot of competition, but you guys still deserve it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I do agree with you. It used to be much more competitive than it is. And when the best announcer of all time in the modern era, let's say that, is not allowed to announce wrestling matches, you know, Jim Ross, it's not really fair. It's like he would win if he said one word in wrestling, but he doesn't. So anyway, but thanks to the fans that voted, and Steve and I are having a lot of fun in Ring of Honor. So that's it. Now, what about this Lava Lovers thing? Do you think they have like special Valentine themed?
Oh, they have to, because I mean, what sets the mood better for Valentine's Day than a lava lamp with hearts and pink and everything else?
LavaLovers.com. So if you went to LavaLovers.com, you could tell them, listen, I want to, what's their slogan again?
If you want your room to look as cool as shit, you go to LavaLovers.com.
Such a fan of that.
Cool as so, shit, Kevin.
That's great. You could have like candy corn in the lava lamp, right? For Halloween. Or, you know, maybe like little floating baby heads, you know, make a scary lava lamp, right?
Yes.
I'm such a fan. And you can do all this online at LavaLovers.com.
You can. LavaLovers.com. You can order any lava lamp you wish. LavaLovers.com. You can get the Scott Criscolo lava lamp.
How old is that one?
It's old and angry. Pissed off.
That's great. So make sure you go to LavaLovers.com. And then, of course, you know, there's so much going on the Place to Be Nation. It's too much. There's too much content.
Kev, we got one more sponsor that I wanted to hit up. A barbershop that opened here in West Warwick, Supreme Clientele. My cousin, out on his own, left the GQ barbershop, struck out on his own, very proud of him. And the cool thing is, he grew up as a big wrestling fan in the era we all know and love, late 80s, early 90s. And he has a ton of memorabilia at home still. So up on his wall, he put like framed old Dirty F magazines, and he brought all his figures into the barbershop and has them all set up now around the barbershop. And figures. He's going to do like a match of the day and, you know, have different things on his Facebook page. So if you're a wrestling fan, you need a haircut, you're West Warwick, check it out.
By the way.
Fair price, and he does an awesome job.
And what's the name of the shop?
Supreme Clientele. You go to facebook.com/ Supreme Clientele Barbershop RI. So check it out, because if you don't mind going over there and like it, maybe we'll give something away on the Kevin Kelly Show for anyone who goes on, a fan of the show and likes it.
There you go.
We sent him there. But he is a big wrestling fan, a big fan of Police Domination, and he gives great haircuts. So check it out.
Barbershop wrestling. Imagine you have, we go there, right? And on the network, they have a bunch of guys sitting around in the barber chairs, right?
There you go.
And they're talking about old matches.
Do it.
And you got all the memorabilia around there. And it's like, hey, I remember that one time. Man, remember when they had that first match and there was like no commentary? Oh, yeah, that boiler room brawl with Mankind and The Undertaker. I remember that. When Paul Bearer turned on him, let's go take a look.
And you're going to have Ed Leslie in it involved somewhere.
Oh, are you kidding? He's the host.
And that's what I told my cousin. I'm like, of all the things, you need a Brutus Beefcake poster in this barbershop. I'm like, if you're going to have wrestling theme everywhere, I'm like, that's the one thing you need to have. He's like the patron saint of the barbershop.
Doesn't he live up in that region?
He's in Massachusetts somewhere. He's in the toll booth, I think, somewhere in Massachusetts.
Aw.
Actually, I think he's in Florida now or something.
Well, hey, listen, best of luck. And Supreme
Clientele.
Supreme Clientele. Go there on Facebook, like the page, and tell them that the Kevin Kelly Show and Place to Be Nation sent you. So and make sure that he doesn't come out with, you know, those big giant hedge clippers.
That's right. Or make sure he does.
Or if that's the look you want to go for. Okay.
PlaceToBeNation.com. A lot of cool stuff going on, Kev. We resurrected from a year ago. I went into my treasure trove. I reviewed the Ghostbusters music video. Do you remember that gem with Ray Parker Jr.?
Yes, of course.
Okay, well, it's broken down there for you if you want to go relive that. We have a lot of Hell in the Cell coverage. Our Seinfeld rewatch series continues on. The Nose Job was the last one we did. We're into season three. A lot of great episodes in season three. We have a new writer here. Crystal Maxwell is going to be recapping Friends as well from the beginning, so kind of competing with our Seinfeld. One of my favorite podcasts right now on the site, the NBA team podcast, Andrew Reich and Adam Murray. They did a podcast preview for each division, and now they're starting the regular series. There's some really cool interviews. Some, if you're a basketball diehard, Reich has some really, really good interviews coming, so be sure to check those out. A great show. Those guys have some really good chemistry and really know their hoops. A lot of good sports shows on the site as well. Hoops started last night, going on tonight. Celtics up big on Brooklyn. The Bulls beating down the Knicks and whatnot. So, yeah, PlaceToBeNation.com. Check it out. We got a lot for you. Of course, home of the Steve Corino Show, Kevin Kelly Show, and many other podcasts and articles, wrestling, pop culture, a lot of comics coverage, tons of comic stuff that we have on there. And, of course, we have a weekly college football show every Friday morning that goes up. Scott and Justin's Vintage Vault Refresh series. We're up to SummerSlam 88, our written reviews. Survivor Series 88 goes up tomorrow. So check those out, PlaceToBeNation.com.
Hey, tickets for the Ring of Honor show over WrestleMania weekend on sale for the Ringside Club members, and they'll go on sale Friday at 10 a.m. to the general public. That's going to be at the Sports House in Redwood City, California on Friday, March 27th, before WrestleMania. So we're looking forward to that. And I don't know how they pulled that off, but somehow, some way, despite the fact that apparently the WWE was trying to block wrestling from that weekend, Ring of Honor will be in the general vicinity. So that's going to be a lot of fun in Redwood City. So there you go. That's a lot of fun. Okay. It's time for trending stories now. And this is a lot of people's favorite part of the show. I enjoy it. I love it. I think it's one of my favorites. Sometimes you never know what you're going to get with trending stories. And we never know how many there are going to be. So let's go with trending story number one.
And now, the news the whole world is talking about. It's time for trending stories right here on The Kevin Kelly Show.
Kevin, he popped the question.
Ooh, what?
And then he burned down his college sports hall. Hopeless romantic Dim Zhang Qian planned to propose to his girlfriend Kong Yen in explosive fashion by setting off fireworks when he got down on one knee. His would-be betrothed did not show up, so as a last-ditch effort, he set off pyrotechnics in hopes that she'd see the fiery display. The plan bombed, though, when the fireworks set the grass ablaze at the Liaoning Advertisement Vocational College in the city of Shenyang. As firefighters rushed extinguished the massive blaze, Qian, 22, searched for his girlfriend, also 22, who forgot that he had asked her to join him for a walk. I was feeling a bit surprised that she didn't show up and was completely unaware that the fireworks had set the grass on fire. When I found her, I said she had to come as there was something very important I wanted to show her. The fiasco did not deter him as he decided to postpone the proposal. Yen said she later found out, but his botched romantic gesture may have cost him the respect of his potential in-laws. Of course, I love him, but my parents have told me to steer clear, saying he can't even ask me to marry him without causing a massive hoo-ha.
Well, I again, first of all, kudos to you for pulling off all of those names effortlessly. You did great with the read there.
Thank you.
What was the groom to be's name?
Oh, I already closed the site.
Ah, shoot. I was going to make you read them all again.
His last name is Qian.
Sure it was. And Kong Yang, I think, was his girlfriend.
Kong Yang,
right?
Was the girl, yeah. So what do you think? I mean, would you still marry this guy if you burnt down the college?
I would. In fact, I want to marry him.
I think it was a storyline on 90210, but go ahead.
I Well, again, they're a little bit delayed getting TVs over in China. So maybe he just saw like 90210 a couple of weeks ago and it was fresh for him. I would so run away with this guy if I'm this gal, because this dude would do anything for her. He is going to just bend over backwards in love and treat her better. Well. What?
What?
What? I think that there is a I think in this repressive Chinese culture that there is, I think they miss out on a lot of you know, just fun and loosen up a little bit, you know. So, and a lot of hoo-ha. There was a lot of hoo-ha going on.
Well, there'll be a big hoo-ha if he tries to go through this proposal. How did you propose? Anything memorable?
I remember being very nervous. I proposed to my wife on Valentine's Day.
99. Tell me 99.
No, I had been married for 6 years by then.
I was hoping it was at Valentine's Day Massacre. Like, as Big Show came up through the cage, you were proposing to your wife.
That's right. That would have been awesome.
No, that was... go ahead.
92?
God, you've been married that long?
No, I married in married in April of 93. Probably proposed... I'm sure it was 1992. Would have had to have been.
Man,
yes.
You're an old bastard.
I am. Look at me. It's crazy.
Valentine's Day, I mean, great idea for a name and a pay-per-view. Ballsy, right? Because you're going to piss off a lot of women running the show on Valentine's Day night.
It's the way it fell on the calendar.
Yeah, but it was awesome. I mean, it was great. But that was my first, you know, it's funny, second time tonight we're talking about my ex-girlfriend. But that was our first Valentine's Day together. And we went for an early lunch dinner and then did gifts. And then we hung out at my house, and then I had her parents came and picked her up, and I stayed and watched Valentine's Day Massacre with my buddy. Romantic, right?
That's very romantic.
That was a big pay-per-view. That wasn't a fucking throwaway.
It was the first Vince Austin match that really happened, right?
Oh, yeah. That was Vince in a cage, Rock, Foley. That was heady stuff.
Yeah, that was awesome. Awesome. Yeah, that was, and it drew. Oh my gosh, did it draw? Jeez,
I'll tell you, there's probably a lot of people that needed that escape on Valentine's Day, the wrestling fans. So I'm sure it was.
See,
fun.
That's it. All right, let's continue, because while love blooms and blossoms and catches fire in China, there's more trending stories from all over the world. Trending story number two is up next. Here we go.
Kevin, what is more important to you, ice cubes or candy?
Candy.
Well, that might be a valid debate after a YouTube user shows how you can dispense candy from the automatic ice maker of your home refrigerator. Derek Peace posted a video Wednesday that has already been watched roughly 1.5 million times. In the clip, he puts a glass to his ice dispenser, which shoots out M&Ms, peanut butter cups, and other pieces of candy. It's perfect for those who like their candy with a little bit of chill and who do not need ice for the beverages. If you decide to fill your ice maker with candy, we recommend washing out the receptacle first before switching back to the cubes, as it's an easy target for bacteria. The next day, we showed a video with candy dispense on the crush setting. He said he had to take off any wrappers before trying it. The results aren't as wild as you think. Would you try this at home, Kev?
Yes, in a minute. In fact, I'm going to go upstairs right now as soon as this is over, and I'm going to have candy instead of ice. I don't put ice in drinks. I pretty much like everything.
Really?
I like things room temp, believe it or not.
See, I need ice.
Yeah, my wife, my boys, big ice users, and then they chew the ice afterward, which I don't have a problem with. Yep. But if I got rid of the ice and put candy in it, I think I could be either a hero or a tremendous villain. That it could go either way.
I'd say you'd be a hero.
I would feel like a hero. I have brought candy to your lives when... Before this, there was just frozen water. This is so much better.
Right. It's like turning the water to wine.
Yes.
Turning the water. And I'd argue that peanut butter cups are better than wine. So, I think that would be a huge victory.
Yeah. As a non-drinker, I would agree with you. I think the frozen peanut butter cups, frozen Hershey Kisses, frozen M&Ms, frozen any kind of chocolate candy is great. However, chocolate mint is the devil's handiwork. Mm-hmm. And all forms of mint chocolate should be banned from the earth, and those who like them should be banned as well.
I'll tell you a quick way to stop eating as much candy, especially this week, is to actually look at the number of calories in the piece of candy
Yeah.
And like if you're keeping track or doing something like that, it it will rock your world. So that to me that is definitely an easy way to steer clear now, you know. It's don't do it if you want to enjoy candy this week, if you want to eat all your kids' candy.
That's why you take the wrappers off before you put them in the ice dispenser, then you don't have to read.
Well, that's true.
See? We figured that out. All right, so that's a new thing to do with your refrigerator.
Oh, quick, I want you to rank your favorite candies. Top five.
Oh, gosh. Okay, M&M's plain one.
Jesus.
Wait, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups two. Oh,
plain M&M's over Reese's Peanut Butter Cups?
Yeah.
You sick, deprived man.
But number one could be number five tomorrow.
Mm.
Okay. Number three, Butterfinger.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, a movie favorite and a movie must have, Raisinets.
Oh.
And number five.
Don't you say Chunky?
No. Chunky's good. Number five, Snickers. Any variety. But I'm really leaning towards like some of the newer versions of Snicker bars that they have.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good stuff out there. But then it depends on my mood. It's like, then I'll go on like a Kit Kat thing for a while.
Give me a break.
And I go, yeah, I go crazy with the Kit Kat when I need a break. And sometimes I go on a Three Musketeers binge. So like I said, number
one.
Do you
prefer Mounds or Almond Joy? Because Almond Joy's good nuts.
I'll go with Almond Joy because the coconut in the Mounds, it's just a little bit too much, and the almond kind of breaks it up for me.
Okay, sometimes you feel like and sometimes you don't.
Right. I don't understand why you left out the word nut.
Well, that's the end of the commercial. Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. Almond Joy's got nuts, Mounds don't, because mm-hmm. sometimes you feel like a... Sometimes you...
Oh.
That's a song.
Very good. Okay, give me your top five quickly.
Peanut Butter Cups, number one. Butterfinger, number two. Skittles are up there.
Yep.
Starburst. Oof. And I like M&M's, but I like the peanut M&M's better
yeah.
than plain. I like all M&M's. And Snickers, too. I like Snickers.
Yeah, we have a mixed bowl in our kitchen. And it has plain peanut and right now peanut butter M&M's. So you reach in, you take the lid off the jar, you reach in, you get a few. You don't quite know what you're going to get. It's really good, though.
I'd be real, real trouble. Candy is just like a overwhelming weakness to me. Like
oh, for me. You see me on television every week. I don't drink. So obviously I got this way from being a sloth and eating a lot of junk food. There you go. I live by the theory, no pain, no pain. So thank you, Jerry Seinfeld, for that.
All right,
okay,
ready?
That's our top five in candy. But there's more trending stories on the way. This is number three, I believe, correct?
Raisinets. Paradise City, Kev, auction.com will launch the bidding process for those who want to snap up an entire town, Johnsonville Village in Connecticut, on October 28th, which is, of course, was yesterday. The town, which includes eight buildings on 62 acres of land, is up for grabs as it was originally purchased by aerospace tycoon Raymond Schmidt to turn it into a tourist attraction, but planning permission issues and costly restoration led to abandonment.
I heard he wanted to change the name to Schmidt Happens.
The lot includes a general store, a stable, a chapel, an old mill, an original Italiante mansion, a covered bridge, and a tavern. It's only a half-hour drive southwest of the popular Hartford. After Schmidt's heirs pawned off hundreds of his artifacts, the town buildings and land were then sold to a hotel developer in 2008. The developer had planned to create a resort in place of the abandoned town, but lack of vital infrastructure led to abandonment. It has since been washed over by a caretaker. Well, the bidding starts at $800,000. Auction.com believes the winner will stump up to $1 million for the ghost town, as it was up in the market for $3 million last year. The auction ends tomorrow at an unpublished reserve price.
Hmm.
How much would you bid to own your own little town?
Well, I bought 6,000 abandoned homes in Detroit recently.
Oh, really?
So no, I didn't. But I did read a story about that.
So it was Jordan Duncan's house, bought, one of them?
There was a bunch of like abandoned houses and vacant lots and just tracts of land, and it was bought for $3 million. So now they're going to have to spend a lot more than that, like probably at least double, to just bulldoze the houses that are remaining to then hopefully redevelop the property. But still, I think that's a steal. I wouldn't give 22 cents in Chinese money for any city in Connecticut, the most overrated state in the union. When I got the job with WWE, I thought I was moving to like, you know, a vision from like the movie Mystic Pizza, you know, just like this nice little area. What a crap hole Connecticut is.
Oh, God, it sucks.
I hated living in Connecticut every second of my life.
Me too. Me too.
Isn't it? And where were you born?
Rhode Island.
You were born in Rhode Island. Okay. So I think Rhode Island is underappreciated, and I think that Connecticut is tremendously overrated.
The only Connecticut ridiculous I knew growing up was from Who's the Boss. So I always thought it was cool. Like, oh, I could see myself living in Connecticut.
There you go.
Nice Bowers little, live there.
Yeah, an idyllic setting.
Right.
Oh, and everybody's so nice, and they wear sweaters, and they got a fireplace Scott on. Oof. Bunch of crap.
I lived in Stanford, which was just, you know how Stanford is.
That's that's a ghetto. Stanford is a freaking ghetto.
Well, the problem is it's not New York, and they act like it's New York. That's the problem. Everyone right who lives there acts like they live in freaking New York. It is not New York. And everyone's arrogant about Stanford like it's some tremendous. They got an inferiority complex about Greenwich. It's just a rough place to live.
Right. Greenwich, and I didn't know this until I moved there, there's a bad part of Greenwich. Like, I didn't realize that. There's the incredible ritzy side, but there's also crap. And it just blew me away. So
I went to Greenwich a couple times in my 3 years. I went once for dinner, and I think my wife took like a dance class there or something, so she used to go. I think it's the only couple times I went to Greenwich.
Yeah. I used to like to leave Connecticut, and then I hated coming back. Other than that, ugh.
Did you drive through like Darien often?
Yeah, because I would take I would either take 95 south. I would take 8 south, or I lived in Shelton. I would take 8 south to 95 or 8 south to the Merritt. Yeah. And I would take either one to get to Stanford.
Did you ever go to Post Corner Pizza?
Yes, I did.
It was really good. That was really good.
Yeah. There was another place in Stanford.
Cove Pizza?
On Post Road. No, I think it was called John's Pizza.
Hmm.
Greek style pizza. It was very good. We used to get there.
How about Rinaldi's?
Rinaldi's. We used to go there every like day for sandwiches.
Oh, so good. That I still dream of that chicken cutlet sandwich. And,
right, that was awesome, and I used to get the eggplant rollatini.
Did you ever get the egg sandwich for breakfast? That was amazing, too.
Of course.
Oh, so good, Rinaldi's. See, there were some good spots. Cove Pizza, Rinaldi's.
Cove Pizza good, Rinaldi's good. Cove Beach Park was nice.
Yes.
Right?
My wife worked in there. She worked at Sound Waters.
Okay.
It was that one there. Anyway, all right, let's move on.
But no, El Crapo. Okay, that's if you want to buy a town in Connecticut, save your money.
Don't do it, yeah.
And let's move on. It's the next trending story here on the Kevin Kelly Show. Gina got a gun.
25 years after making World Series headlines by helping the A's win a title, former Bash Brother Jose Canseco made news of a decidedly different kind on Tuesday, accidentally shooting himself in his Las Vegas home, according to his fiance and Las Vegas police. Actress and model Layla Knight told the Daily News that Canseco was cleaning one of his four guns in the couple's kitchen when it discharged and blew off the middle finger on his hand. He had been at the shooting range just days earlier. He did not know... Sorry, I got distracted. I saw the picture of his fiance. He did not know it was loaded. The middle finger was hanging by a thread. I wrapped up in a towel and called 911. The doctor said they'd have to amputate or do reconstructive surgery, but if they do surgery, he will never be able to use it again. He blew away an artery and a big chunk of bone. Kevin, why is this dolt cleaning his gun in his kitchen? And are you surprised at all that he shot one of his fingers off?
No, I'm not surprised at all. But kudos to you, my friend, for the awesome music selection here for this. That is great.
Hachi Machi, though, his fiance.
Hachi Machi.
Layla Knight.
When you say model actress, I mean,
yeah.
Porn?
Sure, she could. Yep.
Like Skinamax?
Yep, I'm already... Yep, I'm down.
Okay.
Fire it up.
No, I... Again, somebody like Jose Canseco would probably come up with a plan to shoot his finger off on purpose. It's just my middle finger. I got two.
He's definitely going to write a book about it, right?
I'm not doing anything else with this finger. Shoot that sumbitch right off. Everybody will feel sorry for me, and I can make more money.
You can write a book.
I can write another book. I wrote this book with nine fingers. How great am I? So, what an idiot. He's just an idiot. Everybody knows you don't clean your gun in the kitchen. You clean it in the
shed
room.
with your victims.
In the shed. I got to go clean my gun.
Get McGuire over here.
Tough luck. Tough luck, Jose. But best of luck in your future endeavors. Do we have any more trending stories?
Yeah, you know, it's a holiday. It's kind of a special thing. So we got a special fifth story, Kev.
That's awesome. Let's fire it up. It's the fifth story here on the trending stories of the Place to Be Nation.
God damn, little mama. You know you thick as hell, you know what I'm saying? Matter of fact,
I saw Kev, I'm in love with a stripper because a Fark.com ran a poll, a contest. What is the least appropriate song you would imagine a stripper stripping to? And then I got a story to go with this. So what are some really good... Here are some that were on this website that people submitted. Away in a Manger, The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, Fire and Rain, which I liked. That was a good one. Butterfly Kisses, My Father's Eyes, Cats in the Cradle, Thomas the Tank Engine theme song, Amazing Grace. So a lot of funny ones here. The Johnny Cash version of Hurt. Genesis, I Can't Dance. So what are some? You got any that would be really funny to...
Oh, my gosh. I mean, you know, the theme song from Who's the Boss. there's so many.
I liked Fire and Rain. That one made me laugh.
Fire and Rain. If they played Cats in the Cradle, all the guys in there would, like, think about their kids at home and run out of the club crying.
Just be crying, yeah.
Yeah, that song is a guaranteed tearjerker.
What a depressing, stupid song.
Although I do like The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald because I am a big fan of that song.
Taps, someone put here.
What?
Taps.
Taps? Yeah. Oh, Taps is great. there's a lot of goodness on that list. I think some of those songs that I think some of those girls could make it work. Fire and Rain, they probably could, you know, get the props out and do that. Yeah, there's a lot of bad stripper songs. Do you think Jose Canseco's girl has spent any time as the feature act now taking the stage?
Yes. Yes, I'm sure she has.
What's her name? Andy Patinkin? What's her name?
It is... It is Layla Knight.
Layla Knight, yes.
Daughter of Bobby.
I was going to say, not related to Layla Ali, not to be confused with Layla Ali. This is daughter of Bobby Knight, Layla Knight.
Yes, America the Beautiful. That's another one.
Anything patriotic. Well, I mean, have you spent a lot of time? I never was a strip club guy.
Oh, me neither.
I didn't. I felt bad for the girls. When I was actually in Memphis with going down and helping with the developmental territory.
Going down?
Down
where?
In Memphis. There was a meeting place, and it was the Pure Platinum, right? Because It was centrally located to the two highways that we would meet.
Sure.
And some of the guys, we'd all jump in cars. But anyway, a couple times we went in there and had, for lack of a better term, production meetings. And sit down and review the formats for the show. And I was like, I always felt uncomfortable in there. I never liked
it. I don't do any tricks.
If Dennis Stamp...
Is that what they tell you when you were there?
Oh, no. I would... What tricks do you do?
No, you're not going to the right place. So I had a friend that went, and it was around December last year, and you know, it's you pay for a private dance, and they're playing Christmas music all of a sudden. So there's one song that comes on. He's like, "It was just awful," and then she's like, "Oh, okay, you know, we'll do one more song." And the guy plays "Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer."
Oh my gosh! Really?
Like, I mean, I get it. It's Christmas. Play Santa Baby. Do something that's at least a little kind of sexy.
Sure.
Grandma, I mean, that's a way. I mean, you're paying decent money, you know, for a dance. And you're going to have the girl dance to that.
That is.
I was going to play Silent Night.
It, or, you know, chopsticks, something horrible. But what a buzzkill. That DJ.
Awful.
His DJ license should be revoked.
I think it might have been Johnny Sorrow.
Might have been. Man of Constant Sorrow. That's another song you probably can't play in a strip club. How about this? Let's take a break.
Mm.
We'll come back. Final segment of the show. We'll play a game. We'll give our network picks of the week, and we'll share some more Halloween memories, including the best costume that Justin and I ever wore. We'll share that. And all that and more when the Kevin Kelly Show continues here on the Place to Be Nation.
Did someone say strip club? I'm there. And it don't look good. Who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters! What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week you can join Marcus Vandenberg, Big Nasty Alfred Kunawa, and myself on the Kings of Sports podcast, available exclusively on PlaceToBeNation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, sports fans, this is Dr. G for Extra Point, Place to Be Nation's traditional sports talk podcast. Every episode, Scott Criscullo and I talk everything from the Big Four leagues to all the hot sports news with exclusive guests and analysts. Email us your comments and questions at extrapoint@placetobenation.com. That's the Extra Point, exclusively on placetobenation.com.
Hey, sports fans, Cowboy here. Make sure you make your weekly stop by the Sports Lounge here on placetobenation.com, where the boys and I tackle all the hot topics in the world of sports. We go behind the numbers and provide in-depth expert analysis on Major League Baseball, MMA, NFL, and more. The seats fill up quick, so grab your favorite cigar, kick back, and join us in the Sports Lounge, only on PlaceToBeNation.com.
In Rhode Island, and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. In a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Boneheads also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So, be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
On Return the Mailman, we talk about life with great enthusiasm, which eventually leads to disillusionment and inevitably hopelessness. But don't worry, there's lots of laughs along the way. So check us out every week or month or whatever on Richer and the Mailman.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Also, be sure to check out our friends at thehistoryofwwe.com, prowrestlingonly.com, Scott Keith blog at rspwfaq.net, and piledriverwrestling.net.
To ruin my show, and I get two evil guests who are trying to ruin my show.
Just who came up with this stupid idea?
All right, we're back here on the Kevin Kelly Show, special Halloween edition. We've had some fun. We had Gangrel as a guest. Our guest in 2 weeks is the best ring announcer in professional wrestling today, and that's Bobby Cruz. Ring of Honor ring announcer. He's going to be our guest in a couple of weeks. Also, there's a very dark side to Bobby Cruz. He's somewhat a miserable man. I love him. I think he's great. But if he's in the right kind of mood, we're going to get a very, very angry Bobby Cruz, and we're hoping for that in 2 weeks here on the Kevin Kelly Show. But, Justin, let's play a game, because one of the things that people love to do, a part of this show, is play games, and I love it just as much as everyone else. So what's the game we have this week?
Well, Kev, it's Halloween. We figured we'd do a little stay with the holiday theme. We're going to do a little trick-or-treat. This is a game Scott and I used to play on our old headline shows. Basically, I'm going to give you some names from sports, from entertainment, pop culture, wrestling from 2014. You tell me if they deserve a trick-or-treat for this year.
I love this game. Okay, all right, very here easy. We go.
All right, Brock Lesnar.
He is the greatest treat of all in 2014. Absolutely. Treat. Whatever he wants. Give it to him. Agree?
Get a great Vince agreement, and I was on mute. Dean Ambrose.
Dean Ambrose, also a treat. Done a good job. They're taking him down a perilous path, but it's not his fault. He gets a treat. Lots of candy. Maybe some Raisinets. Not goobers, though. Goobers are all right, Dan.
Oh,
go
goobers
ahead.
Suck. How about Phil Jackson?
Phil Jackson got a trick, though, when he signed on with the Knicks. Why did he leave L.A.? He should have stayed out there with Jeannie Buss and just been happy in L.A. And instead, he's got to come to New York and work for that jerk-off Jim Dolan and try to manage this Knicks franchise off the rocks. It's not going to get good until Dolan sells.
I think the Knicks are that, like, ex. We talked a lot about ex-girlfriends today. Ex-girlfriend that he's always wondered if they got back together. I think it's always just been in the back of his mind if it could have worked, him and the Knicks. And I think it's one of those things where he could not rest or forget about the Knicks until he gave it a shot.
Yeah. I hold no ill will towards Phil Jackson, and I'm a Knicks fan. I just hate Jim Dolan, and I hate Knicks ownership, and I hate the Garden. Not the building, but just the mindset of that place. So
they get beat up tonight by the Bulls.
Yeah, well, they're going to get beat up a lot. I think they'll have a decent second half, but they suck. So anyway.
How about Batista?
He is. Can I just egg his house? I would do donuts in his yard, burning bags of turds. I wouldn't give him anything. I'd turn the light off if I saw him coming up on. We're out of candy, freak. Hit the bricks. Jerk.
Seth Rollins.
He's my man. Former Ring of Honor World Champion. Big treat for him. I think he's doing a great job. I don't know if his style is built for the long haul. He's only got so much in the bump tank, and he's got to manage him well, but I think he's doing great. He's fantastic.
LeBron James.
LeBron James, a treat for the fans in Cleveland, a trick to the fans in Miami, but ultimately the best decision that he could have made for the NBA as a whole, and I think he gets a big treat for what he's doing for the league.
Roger Goodell.
Roger Goodell deserves to be dragged behind a car as it's driving down the street.
He deserves to have the kid in blackface beat him with the doll.
That's exactly right. The kid in blackface. That's Roger Goodell's handiwork. Just from his, you know, not wanting to give up control of the, you know, he had to be judge, jury, and executioner. The growth of the game is great, but there's so much more to that. I can't wait till he goes away, and I hope somebody comes in with new ideas and stops all the nonsense and fixes the game. Otherwise, it's going to wind up going away because they're going to outlaw it one day.
Kevin Steen.
Kevin Steen he wasn't always my favorite, but I grew to appreciate him more and more. And, you know, I didn't see him Saturday in Lakeland. Backstage, I didn't see him. He wasn't there, but he's doing good. He's very happy. So, absolutely, a treat for him. A treat for Kevin. Locale though.
You think they're gonna change his name?
Yes.
What do you think it'll be?
Franz Ferdinand, some stupid name. I don't know. Some of the names they've come up with lately are okay.
You think maybe they'll call him like Jimmy Dean?
I don't know what they're going to do. Yeah, right? Ken Stevens something. They don't need to change his name. I hope they don't. But anyway.
They probably will.
Yeah.
Who else we got here? Rusev.
Smash. I had no idea that Rusev was trained by Gangrel.
No, me neither. It's pretty cool. Makes me like him even more.
Now I learned that. He's growing on me. At first, I saw him, and I was just like, oof. He just reminded me of Ted Arcidi, 2014.
That's a rough comparison.
He, not as roided up and more skilled, but that's just who I saw.
Way more skilled. Arcidi was a freaking
like
stiff.
I just said, you know, not as big a stupid muscle head and more skilled.
It's an awful comparison.
But he's starting to grow on me. I appreciate him. And now that I found out that Gangrel was his trainer, he gets the whole bowl of candy. Just save some for me.
And
I'll have my secret stash inside that I don't give to the kids.
And then Lana can have your secret stash inside.
Jay Briscoe.
Jay Briscoe
is, he's got a lot of things going for him. He's a Ring of Honor world champion. He hadn't been pinned in 2 years, but he's a Raiders fan. And the Raiders are miserable. And so that's the worst trick of all. But he is as good as it gets in the ring. And so a big treat for Jamin.
Your boy, famous Jameis Winston.
Boy, he's a conundrum. I'll tell you what, I love him. He's my quarterback of my team. But I hope he smartens up, and because he's skilled. He's got all the throws. He can do everything. He's going to make rookie mistakes when he goes in the league. Don't get me wrong. He's not going to show up and be Peyton Manning. But he's not going to even get to that point if he doesn't change his associations and grow up. So enough tricks from him. Let's, you know, give him some treats and hopefully he'll behave himself.
I do not want the Jets to draft him. I just think that would be a disaster for both of them, and I could see it already coming. But
new coach and new GM for the Jets next year?
I don't think they're going to fire Idzik. I don't know. I can't see them starting over again. I really don't. I mean, the problem is everyone expected them to win, and Idzik is like building a plan, and everyone kind of had this disconnect because I think it's partly because they kept Rex, but I was for them keeping Rex, but I think Rex will be gone now. If I'm them, I try and lose out best they can and draft Marcus Mariota, and then I'm guessing that Izik's going to hire Bevel, the offensive coordinator in Seattle, since that's probably his boy.
What about Brian Kelly from Notre Dame?
I do not see that happening.
Okay. Is there more trick-or-treat?
There are a couple more here. How about your buddy, Steve Corino?
Oh, Corino.
I know what Dad wants to give him.
What? The heave-ho?
No.
Is he sick of him?
No. A treat.
Oh, he wants to give Corino a treat?
Makes him famous.
Hey, listen, Dan McGinn does a great job helping us out here on the show, and he's doing an excellent job producing the Steve Corino show.
Mm-hmm.
Corino is my man. He's my friend. I've enjoyed working with him so much. Big treats for Steve, for his beautiful wife Jordan, and their awesome, incredibly beautiful baby Beck. But Steve's got a great life right now, and I'm very, very, very happy for him.
And you can check out a show occasionally at PlayStation.com. let's see a couple more here. Taylor Swift.
I'm sick of her. I've seen her on everything over the last 2 weeks. Have you noticed that as well?
Well, her album just came out.
Right. I saw her on, I've seen her on commercials. I saw her on, she was going to be on like Good Morning America and going to be on Regis and Kelly or whatever that show is now. She was on The Voice. Jesus, enough. All right. She's talented. I got it. Go the F away. Go to Boneheads and have some wings.
Me and Maria will be there.
Maria.
I was going to do Barack Obama, but I guess we should avoid that. All right, PlaceToBeNation.com.
PlaceToBeNation.com gives the treats to everyone, so they deserve a big treat of themselves. I said to somebody earlier today, there's so much on the site, like we need a Place to Be Nation Part 2, you know, like Earth 2. We need Place to Be Nation 2 because there's so much goodness on the site. I'm proud to be a part of it. I love this podcast. I'm really proud of what we do, and it's been a great treat for me to be a part of it. So, yeah, lots of treats for Place to Be Nation because it's so good to everybody else.
All right, take us home, Kev. Happy Halloween.
Hey, happy Halloween to you. You know, when I was a kid, it wasn't always the best time at Halloween. Some costumes worked. Some costumes didn't. But what I learned is, as I got older, stop wearing masks and stop pretending to be something that you're not. Do it on Halloween and enjoy yourself and be safe. But for the rest of the year, bring down your defenses and let people get to know the real you. And stop hiding behind facades that you're creating in your own mind. Be a real person. Stand up for yourself. Speak highly of yourself. Carry yourself with good posture. And you'll live a happier life. Enjoy Halloween. Make sure you x-ray the kids' candy, because you never know what kind of creeps are going to put razor blades in there, those sons of bitches. Bobby Cruz is going to be our special guest in 2 weeks. There's a lot of controversy brewing with myself and Bobby. We'll settle this debate once and for all. Who's the real voice of Ring of Honor? And whose voice was really in the movie The Wrestler? We will settle this debate once and for all in 2 weeks' time. For Dan McGinn, who did nothing, and for JR, who did even less, I'm Kevin Kelly. Happy Halloween, everybody. We'll see you next time on The Kevin Kelly Show on the Place to Be Nation, placetobenation.com.
When we get into the strip club, I want to see Sable.
A tree fell on Greg Abbott.
You know, I'm only 50 now, and the phone could ring at any time.
Basically, because she had Tommy John and had a strong arm, she gave these awesome hand jobs that he was, like, obsessed with. Will you do my wife and I the honor of purchasing you?
Oh, wait a minute.
I don't get butt hurt.
Bye.
The zombies were having fun. The party had just begun. The guests included Wolfman, Dracula, and his son. The scene was rocking, all were digging the sounds. Igor on chains, backed by his baying hounds. The coffin bangers were about to arrive with their vocal group, the Crypt Kicker Five.
They played the MASH.
They played the Monster MASH.
The Monster MASH.
It was a graveyard smash.
They played the MASH.
It caught on in a flash.
They played the MASH.
They played the Monster MASH. Out from his coffin, Drax's voice did ring. Seemed he was troubled by just one thing. Opened the lid and shook his fist and said,
whatever happened to my Transylvania twist?
It's now the MASH.
It's now the Monster MASH.
The Monster MASH.
And it's a graveyard smash.
It's now the MASH.
It's caught on in a flash.
It's now the MASH.
It's now the Monster MASH. Now everything's cool, Drax a part of the band, and my Monster MASH is the hit of the land. For you, the living, this MASH was meant to. When you get to my door, tell them Body sent you.
Then you can MASH.
Then you can Monster MASH.
The Monster MASH.
And you my graveyard smash.
Then you can MASH.
You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can MASH.
Then you can Monster MASH.
Mash,
ooh! Igor, you impetuous young boy.
Mash, good!
Monster Mash,
gosh!